Hello and welcome to the first edition of the Kidney Diaries, a podcast series intended to inform and raise awareness about chronic kidney disease in people with type 2 diabetes. In today's episode, we will focus on the value of early diagnosis and examine what are the potential barriers to communication between healthcare providers and people with CKD and type 2 diabetes. To give their perspectives on the topic, we welcome our guests, Professor David Cherney, nurse consultant Laurie Barrar, and providing the patient perspective will be Sean, who has recently been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast, where we're going to be discussing screening around kidney disease and related complications in people with diabetes. First, we'll do a little round of introduction, and then we'll get right into the discussion. Sean, would you like to introduce yourself first?
My name is Sean, recently diagnosed with diabetes, so I'm hoping to bring some experience from a newly identified diabetic to the table and the process of how I came to that stage.
Thanks, and Laurie.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Laurie Burrard. I'm a nurse from Canada, and I have an extensive experience in diabetes and diabetes education, and I'm passionate about the area of screening for complications. So delighted to be here to have this conversation today with everyone.
Thank you. And my name is David Cherney. I'm a kidney specialist and clinical researcher in Toronto at the University of Toronto. And it's also my pleasure to be here with you talking about this very important topic. The topic for today's discussion is around screening for kidney disease in people with diabetes. And this is a critical issue because kidney disease is extremely common in people with diabetes. In fact, about 40% of people who have kidney failure because of underlying diabetes, which leads to an increased risk of kidney complications and conditions, as well as cardiovascular disease. So understanding these issues and screening for kidney risk is of the utmost importance. That's especially important now because we have ways to identify patients who are at risk for going on to lose kidney function over time. And as kidney function is lost, that increases the risk of needing either dialysis or a kidney transplant. And moreover, people who have kidney disease are also at a specific higher risk of cardiovascular disease and of heart failure. So it's very important to identify patients early in the natural history of this condition because there are many therapies that we have on hand. So this is an old, a known condition, kidney disease. And the methods for identifying patients who are eligible for treatments have also been around for many, many years. And those include, again, screening for GFR or kidney function and for urine albumin excretion, which are markers of kidney damage from diabetes. And importantly, in people with type 2 diabetes, those screening tests, so GFR and albumin in the urine, should be done on a yearly basis. And that's because even as soon as patients are identified with type 2 diabetes, patients can be at high risk of having abnormalities in those kidney function tests and accordingly may be eligible for medications that can prevent the development of future kidney injury and kidney function loss over time. So screening is very important, and it's also important to screen early because patients can manifest evidence of kidney damage very early in the natural history of diabetes, especially in type 2 diabetes. It's a little bit different in type 1 diabetes, where damage doesn't tend to accrue till after a duration has elapsed after diagnosis. But in type 2 diabetes, evidence of damage can occur right from the outset. So screening is of the utmost importance and needs to be done early so that we can prevent future damage over time. So I think the themes are, number one, that kidney disease is common in people with type 2 diabetes. Number two, that there are therapies that can be used to prevent kidney function loss over time. And number three, that screening for GFR or kidney function and for albumin in the urine are critical methods to identify and then treat patients with evidence of kidney injury or high risk of kidney injury, and that we have to make sure that these screening strategies are implemented in a broad-based way in people at risk for kidney disease, such as those with diabetes. So I'll stop there for a second, and Laura, maybe I'll hand over to you now.
Perfect. Thanks very much for such an excellent overview about, you know, the why, the what, the how, and the who in terms of looking for this particular complication related to diabetes. And I think it's really important that, you know, the science is there, but what about the lived experience? So, Sean, you mentioned in your introduction that you were relatively newly diagnosed with diabetes. So what did you learn? Tell us a little bit about your journey from the time of diagnosis to being here with us today to talk a little bit about this area around diabetes and kidney disease.
Thank you, Laurie. Yes, it came as a shock to me, but when I look back and reflect on it, it certainly wasn't a shock, because my lifestyle, when I reflect on it, was paramount to how I got to that place. It would have been late last year. The markers or the screening would have identified, yes, that was the problem. Now, it's only then that you realize as a patient the complications and complexity of what you've now entered into. And that is the area that I reflect on, is that I would have seen type 2 diabetes as just something else. Wasn't serious, it didn't have any complications. It might be a tablet to resolve, similar to blood pressure, similar to cholesterol. However, my general practitioner, when I was identified, would have been very quick to advise me that the complication of other illnesses or conditions, such as hypertension, cholesterol, obesity, when you multiply those factors, then the risk of kidney disease and other issues, I became very aware of it. And that was my problem. I would have taken this as just another step in an aging process that we had in the family, and I would acquire it at some stage. I've now looked at the process, and I'm trying to do something non-medical as well as medical intervention, which will happen shortly. So I'm now trying to retrofit a lifestyle that may have prevented getting to it if I had been aware. That's not a reflection on the medical staff that I've been with. In actual fact, much of the screening would have been blood tests in respect of cholesterol. It wasn't targeting type 2 diabetes. The other personal side that I would talk about is that my brother and my sister, both of which have type 2 diabetes, should have been an indicator to me at an early stage that I would follow that path with the lifestyle and dietary that we had. My brother would have been, had a bypass last year, cardiac bypass surgery. But it's only when he presented for surgery, the complications of diabetes was fully analyzed. Because whenever he presents himself for any intervention with medical people, type 2 diabetes always complicates the process. So we're now realizing, and I am, the complexity and impact that it has. And I was very surprised only when I got involved with this group, the connection with the kidney disease and the elements there, that we always looked at it as it's a sugar problem, you get blurry vision, those who are very unfortunate, there may be an issue with circulation. But I never connected the full process of the impact totally. So as I say, it was a shock to me. Not the GP's fault. I have to take responsibility for me as much as anyone else. However, it was a shock at my age, and I'm in my 60s, to realize the complexity and damage that can be done that may have been prevented with an awareness or a greater emphasis on the damage that it could cause.
Sean, you sound like hundreds of thousands of people that I've known in my career who are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, who all believed that it's just a touch of sugar and it's not really a big deal, and they just carried on. But what I heard you saying is that you had the great fortune to, well, you didn't maybe do what you might have to prevent you from getting to this place, that once you got there, that you had someone who sat down with you and helped you understand that that bit of sugar had other implications in terms of your ongoing health. And you mentioned about how it might affect your kidneys and how it was connected to your blood pressure and your cholesterol. So it sounds to me like you, once diagnosed, had the benefit of education and understanding so that you're empowered to make those changes that you talked about to be able to try to prevent further complications related to your diabetes. And you can add to that that you have a lived family experience so that, you know, even though you had a brother and sister that lived with diabetes and they had these things happening, that only once you became engaged in your own health did you realize that it's diabetes that's at the root of this problem for them. So I think you bring out very important points, is that patient education and awareness around diabetes and the complications that occur are really important, not just at diagnosis, but if we can make people aware of, you know, what we're trying to prevent by living a healthier lifestyle. I'd like to ask you, specific to your screening when you were diagnosed, do you know what occurred to you in that primary care office? You were diagnosed with diabetes. What happened in terms of the screening for complications in your visit with your primary provider?
Laurie, because it was so new, obviously, the initial screening had identified the issue. It had been flagged at a previous screening. And these were screenings, as I say, for a different issue. But there was a full bloods being taken. So it identified it very quick that this was an ongoing problem and getting worse, escalating. The screening then has decided that I go back within a three-month period and to reassess the extent of it, which would then determine the interventions that would be required. But as you quite correctly say, the initial set down indicated the full range of issues that were there and the complications. The lifestyle changes that would have to be affected, as well as medical interventions which may be required. But it also looked at the matrix of four different elements of my health, which when you multiply them together, increases the factor of potentially serious illness, rather than taking them in isolation, which I would have taken as a patient, that if I keep the blood pressure down, I'm fine. If I lose a bit of weight, the cholesterol is fine. But it's when my GP practitioner multiplied it, put it in a matrix and said, now, the combined effect of all those and multiply it by type 2 diabetes, now we have a serious issue. It was only then that I got fully in tune that we had a problem.
And I'm going to point out something and ask David to comment on this, is that it sounds like to me that you had prepared screening. And one of the things that we recognize is that when we have a disease state like diabetes, that we have guideline-based screening. And Dr. Cherney mentioned that when he talked about, you know, screen early, screen annually. But it sounds to me like your experience was that you were in a practice where that screening was set up as a package, so that by the time you got the diagnosis, you had already had your first EGFR and your ACR done, your urine test was done. And then the next step was that you were going back in 3 months to repeat it. So maybe, Dr. Cherney, can you talk a little bit about what it means in terms of why we have guidelines? And they're not all the same. You know, we don't all follow the same guidelines, but certainly we have guidelines that are based on evidence that really help the primary provider, like Sean's, who sounds amazing, to give good comprehensive care.
Yeah, absolutely. So the guidelines are critical because they the aim is to try to practice in the best way possible and to provide the best care, but also to practice in a way that's been shown to identify risks, complications, and also the problems that can arise from those complications in an evidence-based way based on studies. And I think one of the critical things that's been mentioned around screening and why it's so important to do this kind of guideline-based screening program is that all of the risk factors that you mentioned, hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, obesity, even maybe early changes in glucose levels that don't quite cross the line into being called diabetes, all of those risk factors are critical partners with diabetes for causing complications. And so what we often see is that by the time the A1C or the average blood sugar level crosses over into the range where we can call it diabetes, often patients can have very subtle or abnormalities in glucose levels that are just below that threshold, and in concert with the factors you mentioned, high blood pressure, obesity, et cetera, can already have evidence of kidney damage and can already have evidence of having elevated levels of albumin being spilled into the urine, which is a marker of kidney injury. And so that's why we have to screen people with type 2 diabetes so early, is that often many of those risk factors have been ongoing for a long time, and that can cause kidney damage that we can see by the time diabetes is diagnosed, and it can be caught early and ideally be treated early as well. When that level of albumin is elevated in the urine, that reflects that the kidney has been damaged by conditions such as high blood pressure, such as diabetes, and the kidney filters that are meant to keep albumin in the blood and prevent it from spilling into the urine, that albumin in the urine is a marker that the kidney is no longer able to have an intact filter, and that some of the albumin leaks into the urine. And that can again be from some of the factors that you mentioned, like high blood pressure and obesity, and also from diabetes, all of which can eventually lead to that same manifestation, which is damage to the function or the GFR that gets impaired, and also damage to this filter so that albumin leaks into the urine. And so that's why it's so good that your GP did those tests so early, because your GP is then able to identify those risk factors. So that's why that early screening is so critical, is to catch those factors as soon as they're present so that they can be either hopefully be arrested or at least slowed down.
So we know this is a problem. We know that there is a very simple tool for screening. It's been exciting for the last 5 years, but it wasn't too bad for the previous 20. Yet we recognize that there is a big barrier to this screening, because otherwise, Dr. Cherney, you wouldn't have all these patients with diabetes and chronic kidney disease in your kidney practice. So where do you think we are falling down? What seems to be the barrier to why people are not being screened, detected, and treated appropriately? Sean's a great example of someone who's on a perfect path to, you know, prevent progression of complications. But what's wrong? Like, why are we still seeing such high rates of kidney failure? Where do you think the barrier is?
Yeah, so I think there are lots of barriers in terms of why there's still a lot of kidney disease progression. First is the rate of screening, which is not 100%, which is where it should be. And the barriers there are very complex and include lack of awareness by healthcare practitioners, by the general public. And what always amazes me is that everybody knows what their cholesterol is, everyone knows what their blood pressure is, but very few people know what their GFR is. And I think that general public awareness raising around kidney function is critical, because not only is GFR important for kidney function, of course, as is albumin in the urine, but it's also a critical cardiovascular risk factor. So there is a lot of work to be done still around public awareness and general education about the importance of knowing your kidney function, like knowing your cholesterol, like knowing your blood pressure, like cancer screening, for example, that we do at a public health level. All of these factors are very important to understand, not only for physicians, but for patients. There's a lot of general education that needs to be done for physicians still. So those are other barriers. And then another huge area of barrier is around therapy. Why? Well, in the past, you could make the argument that although you could screen for it, beyond use of older medications, there wasn't much that could be done. But now there is so much that can be done around preventing kidney disease progression with newer, effective, and safe therapies. And so I think there needs to be also a lot of education, not just for physicians. So I think those are some of the big areas to address. Of course, these are very complicated issues, and there are other areas that are involved as well.
I just want to jump on one part, because I want to bring Sean back into the conversation. And I'm a big fan of patient empowerment. And so I think that if individuals who live with diabetes, if they know what their checklist should look like, and they can ask for it, to your point, that sometimes they can drive the care, especially in places Definitely. Where there are not reminders built in. So patient awareness, public awareness. And Sean, if you met someone diagnosed with diabetes tomorrow, what would you ask them and what would you advise them? Because your journey has been filled with education and appropriate guideline type of screening. What message would you give to your peers who are newly diagnosed or even have been living for multiple years with diabetes? What would you want them to know in relation to the screening for chronic kidney disease?
For me, Larry, after what I've been through, which is only a short period of time, what I didn't know what I didn't know. So I need to be educated as to what the issues are. And if we join up the dots in advance, I take the example, if I sit in a clinic room and I see kidney issues in a brochure, I won't touch it. But if I see type 2 diabetes, then I will, because it's more relevant. So it's joining up the dots of the process So I fully understand now. I would probably bore people to death telling them all I know now. But the reality is I didn't know the questions to ask. And when I didn't know that question, I certainly didn't know what I needed to get screened. So I was fortunate with my GP, but it is important that we as patients would understand what is there for us, that we can access it so we can understand it. That's the message I would give.
Thank you. And I think I have an obligation as an educator to ensure that not only people affected by diabetes, but those that are managing them are aware of, you know, proper guideline-based screening and why it's important and how to do it and when to refer and what medications can be used. And Dr. Cherney, I'll give the last word to you so that you can tell us what you think in the broadest sense would help us in terms of improving outcomes for people living with diabetes.
Yeah, thanks. So that, I think this has been a very interesting discussion, and we've covered many different areas, including those that are focused on patient knowledge, education, empowerment, and also on what we have to do around general medical education, and that as it pertains to screening and potentially identification of patients who may be eligible for new therapies based on their projected risk of kidney disease progression down the road. We've talked about the need and importance for early screening because of the general risk factors that can all converge and thereby increasing the risk of kidney and cardiovascular disease. And I think that we have to have a multi-pronged approach to address many of the issues that we talked about today. I don't think there is one simple fix, but certainly a higher level of awareness and a higher priority for the kidney and its related complications, I think, is warranted, especially because we have therapies that can reduce that risk down the road. So I've really enjoyed this discussion, and I thank both of you for being involved and included today. And I hope that all the listeners have enjoyed the content as well. Hopefully, we'll be able to discuss more of these important issues in the future. Thanks again.